Our reading is taken from John chapter 7, continuing on the series in the work of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 7, verse 37 forward. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, with whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is a prophet." Others said, "He is the Christ." Still others asked, "How can Christ come from Galilee? Does not the scripture say that Christ will come from David's family and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?" Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, pour out your Holy Spirit for this searching question and challenge that comes to us all. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. The challenge is come. That's what Jesus said. Come. One word. And yet that one word divided people's opinions. Became a distraction for some. I don't want to think about the word come. I want to think about where Jesus was born. And a dispute arose as to what lineage he should come from, his place of birth. A distraction. Yet the invitation had been clearly given, come. But some people turned the invitation into a distraction. You meet people like that all the time when they don't want to think about Jesus. You begin the conversation about their need of personal salvation, and suddenly the church is a place full of hypocrites. It was a conversation about your relationship with Jesus, not other people's. And yet ultimately we can turn the question into a distraction. Or we can turn the invitation into a distortion. We don't want to accept that Jesus is the only way. The life of fulfillment that Jesus is talking about here was not by our design, but by his. We somehow think that we have a better way of receiving fulfillment, satisfaction, and joy. Therefore, we erect all sorts of distortions. We look for fulfillment in a variety of ways, except the way that Jesus spoke of. He wants us to have abiding and fulfilling relationship, but unprepared to accept that he's talking about a relationship with God first and foremost, and everything else secondary to that. We look for our fulfillment solely in human relationships. We want that deep love that we crave for. And rather than look to God to be the source of it, we look to the world around us to find it. We hope to find it in our life partner, someone that we believe that we can fully invest our life in, give our life over to such a person. And whilst that aspiration is good, to live without God in it becomes a distortion. And the devil allows the distortion Because he knows that human love will never satisfy, because it is broken. We're not even sure of the motives behind some of our actions. And we're certainly aware of the disappointment of some of our reactions to those that we claim to love. It does not bring what we seek. And in the worst case scenario, the devil allows those distortions to lead to destruction, where that human relationship that was designed for love and satisfaction actually causes brokenness and pain. And what we sought has eluded us. But there are those who even have the greatest fulfillment of human love, and yet, in the quietness of their own heart, they know that there's a relationship missing. They have everything that they possibly could have within human terms, but it's not enough. There is still something missing. When Jesus stood up on that day, he offered an invitation. He said, come. And he meant to himself, come to me. I don't care who you are. I don't care what distractions you've undergone. I don't care what distortions have taken place in your life. I don't care how devastated you are. I don't care how much you claim to be fulfilled. You will never truly be satisfied until you come to me. Everything else you put in my place will leave you wanting. And you will never experience the joy and peace and presence of God unless you listen to this invitation. And he stood up on that last day of the feast and declared in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. If anyone is thirsty. Now, on that last day, they would have been carrying water down as part of the ceremony. And perhaps Jesus, in an opportune moment, was looking at the last day of the festival. And he was saying, how do you feel today? Given all the religious practices that you've engaged in, given your life, the fact that you may be involved in relationships and in religion and may have a job, you may be in a position of where you're looking now, and I want to say to you, at the end of this festival, the end of this time together, are you truly happy? Or is there an aching void and a thirst that still has not been quenched? And I'm sure there were people standing around who say, oh, I would just love to be satisfied. To stop striving, stop looking, stop searching, and eventually find what I am looking for in life. If anyone is thirsty. Because Jesus recognizes that there is a thirst within human beings that cannot be quenched by water. No tap can truly satisfy what is aching within each one of us. A deep and dreadful thirst. And we just keep on trying to drink day after day after day to satisfy that insatiable thirst that is in each one of us. Our lives are baked hard. Our lips are dry. And we go through life trying to satisfy that thirst, wetting our lips on every available opportunity. Every hobby, every interest, every relationship, every moment, every career, every job opportunity, every promotion, every amount of money that goes into the bank, every holiday that we try to experience, wetting our lips that are parched dry with life. And we still are not satisfied. We're still thirsting. And no one has quenched it. And Jesus said, come, if anyone is thirsty. And he's not restricting those who can come. It's not the good or the mighty or the noble or the rich. It's you and me. It's everybody that's sitting here under the sound of this message. Jesus is offering an invitation to everyone. If anyone thirsts, you're not excluded. It doesn't matter what sins you've committed. It doesn't matter what home you were born into. It doesn't matter what level of education you possess. It doesn't matter how dire your situation truly is. If anyone is thirsty. What a loving, caring, gracious invitation that's going out to you and I today. A message of hope. If anyone within earshot of what Jesus is saying is willing to come, I am willing to receive them. I will embrace them. I will care for them. I will love them. I will cherish them. If anyone is thirsty, let him come and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. What a description of the disposition of a person who comes to Jesus. If Jesus is offering that invitation out to you and your lips are baked dry with thirst, he's not just going to give you a little touch on your lips of glistening water to temporarily satisfy your thirst. If you are genuinely thirsty, what would someone wetting your lips achieve? It would only create an even greater desire for water. It would be so tempting and yet so distressing. It would be better if that person had not have wetted your lips at all. And that's what life does without God. On occasions, in the midst of all the thirst that you're experiencing, you attempt to find satisfaction somewhere. And occasionally, things in life come along and wet your lips. And you think, oh, that's just what I need. But then the application doesn't satisfy. In fact, it leaves you with an even greater thirst. And the devil mocks us in our pursuit. He gives us a little pleasure, but never enough. A little satisfaction, but never full satisfaction. He wets our lips, but he never quenches our thirst. And it would have been better if he hadn't. Because it only creates within us that insatiable desire for more that we cannot possess. But Jesus said something wonderful. Something life-changing, something fantastic. These words are well chosen and they're well intended. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of water will flow from within him. Streams of water. You can have a flood of God's ultimate satisfaction into your life today. You can know the relationship that truly satisfies. You can know the vocation in life that brings total contentment. You can experience streams of living water welling up from within you. Joy unspeakable. Full of glory, being born from above, having our lives satisfied, having our thirst quenched by streams of living water that well up from within. But how is that possible, you say? How is that possible in a life full of dryness and in a wilderness of our own existence? By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. And up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. But there was a day coming. A day coming when the Spirit would be given. A day coming when the Son of Man would be glorified. And that day has arrived and is past. Jesus was speaking before what we attempt to do together actually took place. And he said, let me introduce you to a mystery of the kingdom. For those that are thirsty, for those that have had their lips partially wetted by the world but never satisfied, I'm going to offer you an invitation before it arrives. The party invitation is going out. Come. All you who are thirsty, and drink. Because there's a moment coming when I will pour out my life as an offering for you. And I will gladly do it because you are in the state that you're in because of sin. And that sin needs to be atoned for. And I need to die in order to make that possible. And the reason I am saying all of you come, because I'm going to die so that all of you can be forgiven. And this invitation goes out to you. Come to me. When you do, when you embrace me, something's going to happen. You're going to embrace my death that atoned for your sin. You're going to realize that you cannot live without me. You're going to realize that you can never find life until you find me. And when you do that, I'm going to send someone to help you. The Spirit had not yet been given. But there will come a day when the Spirit will be poured out upon all flesh. There will come a day when the Spirit can quench every thirst. There will come a day when he will be the most fulfilling relationship that you will ever possess. Because we will dwell in you. The Spirit will come. And out of your innermost being shall flow rivers, streams of living water. Why? Because you will be indwelt by the Spirit of God. You will be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And he is the author of life. The Spirit breathed. And Adam and Eve lived. The Spirit breathes and you will live. The Spirit breathes and you will begin to breathe again. The Spirit breathes and you will have a thirst that can be truly quenched by his presence in your life. You will live. Live as God intended. Out of that innermost being, the real soul of your existence, will flow rivers of living water, streams gushing forth in fullness of life. Do you want that? You need it. Oh, you need it. Because without it, you have nothing that will satisfy. You have illusions. They are the oasis in the desert. The apparition before your eye, baked hard in the desert heat, your lips are parched and cracking. And in the middle of this desert, the devil forms illusions, still in the distance. Travel and find the water in the desert. And Satan lays before you an illusion. And as you crawl through the desert in search of that little pool of water that you hope will quench your thirst, like the rainbow in the distance, it always disappears. But right there, in the middle of life, there is a well. And it is the Holy Spirit. And right there, in the middle of this dry land, you drink from a well that never runs dry. And the source of the spring of your life is eternal and internal. And it never dries up. And the circumstances of life can never erode, can never cause the stream to evaporate, for its source is endless. And from within you this morning, let the streams of living water flow. As we worship God now, and as we come around communion, let the streams of living water flow. Let the Spirit well up from within you. Cry out to Him, and you will be satisfied. Satisfied only by the Spirit enabling you to experience His grace. Let us pause for a moment. Holy Spirit, move. In Jesus' name.